are you literally playing a game in the introduction?
Yeah.
Is this not unnerving to your concentration at all?
That... No, you carry on, Matt.
Okay.
I'll do the podcast while playing a game.
Right, okay. Let's get into it then. Tom, Matt, attack. Bloody gamepad down. I've told you once, I've told you 1,000 times. No gaming at the dinner table.
But Matt, I'm playing Final Fight 3.
You are, Thomas. You are playing Final Fight 3.
Oh, I've got super moves in this one.
Are you playing as Guy, Cody, or Hagger?
Or the lady.
Or the lady?
I guess it's Hagger's daughter. I don't know. That's a guess.
Well, the woman you're supposed to save in the first game.
Yeah.
Okay, interesting. Come back to us anyways, Tom.
Yeah.
Come on about that.
Okay,
come on.
Oh, dear. Hey, you all right, Matt?
Yeah, not too bad at all. I take it you've been playing a few games this weekend, Thomas, seeing as you were faffing around on your gamepad.
A few. I wouldn't say in a huge amount of games.
I guess we should probably address the fact that we haven't really podcasted in a long, long time.
I wouldn't say a long, long time. We did the E3 thing.
Like, that was a week. No, it was almost 2 weeks ago now, if you really think about it.
Hmm.
So we did the podcast on the Tuesday, and then it's Sunday today. Like, it's been a week and a bit since then.
So yes, of course, there's going to be a backlog of games we haven't talked about.
Oh, yes.
It's funny enough, looking at what I've played this last week, it's all been on Nintendo systems.
You tell a lie. You've been playing some PS2 as well, you
a little liar. A little, not the ones I've written down, though.
Oh, what I find funny as well, Tom, is looking back down my list. Oh, yeah. Most of my games have been on the Game Boy. Who would have thought?
Oh, funny that. You're quite right there. We did play a few PS2 games the other day, Matthew.
We did. I went to a store here in Denmark in Horsens called Bog Central Inn, and they had many a game for the PS2, and they were doing a deal of 3 for 2 on the games. And so I picked up a few titles. Nothing that I was particularly after myself, other than the ones I mentioned. Saying like I picked up... Ratchet and Clank 3. I was going to buy that, or I thought, no, I won't bother. I ended up just getting Dragon Ball Z Infinite World. I got a copy of Red Dead Revolver, which I've been after for a bloody long time.
And really? Is it because you found it hard to find?
It's quite obscure.
Is it?
Yeah, it actually fetches quite a price online.
Back in the days of working in game, it was one of them common games.
Yeah, I believe it's one of those games that actually demands a small sum of monies now, Thomas.
Oh, surprises me.
And I've actually, think about it. Think how many of these PS2 bin things we've trawled through in GameStops and the like. How many copies of Red Dead have you seen?
None.
Exactly. Otherwise, I would have owned it by now.
But it was not only that, was it, Matthew, that you picked up?
It was not. I also picked up another Western game, purely because I wanted to compare it to Red Dead Revolver, and because Phoenix Games are the best games company in the world. Picked up a game called Deadeye Jim. Mm. Now, don't like
nothing
that.
Nothing to do with Earthworm Jim.
No, unfortunately, I did look at it and saw Jim, and I was like, is that? And I was like, no, of course it isn't. But Deadeye Jim is actually... The greatest arcade Western experience I've ever experienced.
Gosh. What about Wild Guns on the Super Nintendo? That's...
Sorry, Gunstar Hero fans as well.
Because really, that's what it is. It's a throwback to something
Sunset
like
Riders,
Guns.
I meant. Not Gunstar Heroes. That's a completely different setting. Even though I guess you are kind of in the sandy desert in the first level. Anyways, digress. Yes, I even better than that, Thomas. Purely because of its simplicity and the pure joy of playing...
It's a very addictive game, and it was one that surprised both of us, I think, in its playability. The first thing that was a little bit weird about it was it could have been a two-stick shooter because you aim and move, but you aim and move on the same stick, which for me was a little bit confusing at first.
Oops, take it back. Red Dead Revolver, £2 by it now. Anyway.
Yeah,
Never mind.
I knew you were lying to me, Matthew. Trying to justify your bargain more than it was.
Yeah, oh, that's a shame. Well, technically, and I overpaid for it.
At least the Dead Eye Gym made up for that.
It did.
Surprisingly addictive, enjoyable, very simplistic game by a developer called Nap Team, I think.
Yes, that is correct.
And or Naps Team.
Naps Team.
Something like that. I think they're Italian-based. Their first game being a game called Shadow Fighter, which when I found out about, I did a little bit of research on, and actually immediately purchased for the Amiga.
Your eyes lit up. I haven't seen them light up in a while, Thomas. It was a good day for you in fighting games yesterday.
It was.
But we'll talk about that in a second.
Okay.
We won't go down that route. We need to explain what Dead Eye Gym is. It's an arcade-style shooter that's kind of behind the back perspective, over the shoulder perspective, and you're just kind of shooting people out of buildings.
Like I said before, if you've played Wild Guns or Super Nintendo, it's the same thing.
Except
a little bit more stripped down.
I don't think I've played Wild Guns then.
Okay. Pretty stripped back. Very enjoyable. Reminds me of Virtua Cop in a way, where the enemies will throw things at you and you have to dodge them like dynamite and things like that.
Agreed.
They hang out a window throwing stuff.
I was going to say, it actually reminds me of Time Crisis for reasons I can't really describe, other than I think that the people are wearing different colour shirts, which kind of connotates what they're going to do. Like the red guy throws dynamite, the yellow guy gives you loads of points, the white t-shirt guys are instead of the blue guys in Time Crisis, so they're just the cannon fodder. Yeah, all in all, it's actually a really surprisingly good game. I do agree with you, it probably should have been two sticks. The idea of walking and shooting on the same stick is kind of a bit of a faff, but once you kind of get used to the idea
of
you can aim anywhere over the screen when you're just standing still and shoot in, then it's fine.
And that's it. And then to move left and right, on the L2 and R2 triggers, you've got a roll mechanism.
You have got a roll mechanism.
You can just do that without actually running back and forth.
The score of the game is just essentially an endless guitar solo as well.
Yeah.
Which is kind of hilarious.
Which is incredibly fitting for the game, and enjoyable piece of music it is.
Yeah, graphics not the best. There is some kind of niceness to the fact you can get power-ups.
It's pretty rigid.
A little, yes.
You know, he moves at the waist and that's about it.
He does look like an early PS1
running,
game.
Of course, but when he's standing still, he's like an action figure.
Yeah, he is. And the annoying thing about the game, I found my only critique with what it is, taking it solely on its own merit of what it is as a gameplay experience, is the fact that if you suddenly walk to the right or left and an enemy shot before you've gone to the left or right, you walk into bullets and die, because it's only one hit. Them's the rules in the Wild West, Tom.
Yeah, interesting about it, though, if you are so far off screen, the guys who were on screen a moment ago won't be able to hit you.
Nope.
Once they're out of your view.
Yep.
So that's nice.
It is.
So, there we go.
Yeah.
Have it on our recommendation that if you see Dead Eye Gym, don't be put off by the Phoenix Games logo on there, because it's actually made by a team with a rather good heritage.
Yes.
And is a fun game.
It is a fun game. I wouldn't say go out of your way to pay a small fortune for it. I'm just saying.
I can't imagine anyone selling Dead Eye Gym for a small fortune.
I don't know, mate. People are collecting Phoenix Games, which is kind of funny to me, because we're also kind of doing the same thing.
You see one day that the price of Phoenix games will rise as they become even more collectible.
Perhaps, just as people realise how terrible they are and how much of a joy it is to play them or watch others play them in our experience.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Extreme Quads being
the best game I've ever seen anyone play, because you were just so frustrated with it. After that, I played a bit of Red Dead as well, which holds up. I was itching to play more Red Dead, but I kind of thought, well, I just wanted to taste it. I wanted to sample it. I wanted to nibble upon it, because it's a game I'd never played.
It looked very washed out on our television, though.
It did look very washed out on our television. I think I may have to switch over to the old CRT in the corner.
Although it may be that kind of game. My memories of it were playing it on the Xbox, where I do remember it looking slightly different, maybe a little bit more crisper.
Perhaps.
But yeah, there's some nice visual stuff going on. I like the character designs in Red Dead. I like the stylistic approach that Rockstar took with Red Dead Revolver.
It made me want to go back and play Redemption as well. I was just oh god, I love
it's
Red
great,
Dead Redemption.
Isn't it, that how much they retained in Red Dead Redemption from Revolver, even though they're massively different games.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I watched Fistful of Dollars today just because it kind of got me back on a Western vibe. And I was like, oh, man.
And did you play with your Lone Ranger Lego set?
No, I did not. No, I do want to see that new Seth MacFarlane Million Ways to Die in the West film, though, because that actually looks pretty
funny. I was
surprised
that he's actually in it.
Well, he's, you know,
plays the lead, doesn't
he? He is an actor. He is,
I didn't know he was an actor.
He was in... Was he in Fringe? He was in some kind of FBI sci-fi-esque thing. I can't remember if it was Fringe or The Event or whatever the hell that other series was called that came out around the same time.
Because my perception was that he's just come out from behind the curtain as an actor, but no. Okay.
He's also a classically trained baritone as well. He hosted the BBC Proms two or 3 years ago. Yeah,
I didn't know he's such a multi-talented guy.
He is.
I mean,
not just fart jokes, Tom.
Moving on. Another game you picked up, was it from the same store?
It was from the same store, yes.
Bloody Roar 4.
Bloody Roar 4.
It's only Bloody Roar 4.
What? They missed a trick. If it would have been a British developer and not Hudson, they could have called it Bloody 4.
Could have done.
Bloody 4.
There are some sexy ladies in it.
Bloody 4. And they turn into things. Scary things.
Yeah. This was a game I've been after for some time. Being a fighting game fanatic and a collector of fighting games, it was one of those PS2 fighting games which I wanted to get, but I couldn't justify paying for it. I found out recently that it was gone on eBay for about £20. Matt found a copy for 80 kroner.
80!
79 kroner.
Yeah.
Which is half the price.
Yes.
Hey.
Hey.
So he snapped that up for me, which I'm eternally grateful for.
Yeah. There doesn't seem to be the mass exodus of PS2 collectors here in Denmark quite yet. Mm. Like I'm a member of several Danish online retro gaming things, and no one really seems to collect PS2, which is kind of to our advantage.
It's a heck of a challenge if you... It depends what...
2,000 titles in that library, Tom.
I'd never do it. I'd never go for a full collection. It doesn't... The idea doesn't appeal to me, but with fighting games, I'm nearly there.
Well, I'm almost at the 25% mark. Like, I'm
with what?
With Game Boy games. Yeah, I'm almost at 25%. I've got 111 titles currently.
You're finding
us.
It fulfilling?
I am.
Okay.
I have one stinker in that entire lot, one game that I've seen no purpose to.
Well, you could even find purpose in Cool World.
I've kind of grown to kind of like Cool World, to be honest. God. I'm kind of glad I didn't release the biographic video of Cool World when I did, because I didn't really know how to play it. It's okay. It's not too bad. Dragon's Lair, on the other hand, is fucking terrible,
yeah,
which
that,
is
that
one
game,
of the
games. Though, outside of its original form.
I disagree. I actually like the NES one. I am actually okay with the NES Dragon's Lair.
Isn't that the really bad one?
It was one of the first games I owned as a child, and I almost beat. I'm okay with it. I kind of accept it for what it is.
So how different is the Game Boy game to the...
Very. I can't even describe the Game Boy game. It's kind of like a really obtuse platformer. I'll have to show it to you. Like, we'll have to... I'm going to do...
I just thought it would be very similar to the NES game.
No, not at all. It's very strange. It's very easy to die because it's very terribly designed. Like, it is the one clunker so far out of 111 carts.
Lucky you.
You know.
It's bound to get worse.
Mortal Kombat isn't great. Like, but at least Mortal Kombat, you can kind of appreciate the effort and the fact that it's on an 8-bit console and what they try to do. Dragon's Lair is just an awful game.
Okay. But Bloody Roar 4, not an awful game.
No, not at all.
An enjoyable game and has a lot in common with the last entry in the series, which I played on the GameCube, known as Bloody Roar Primal Fury, but it was also available on the PS2 as Bloody Roar 3.
Yes.
4, surprised me, I couldn't remember this from previous titles, but there's a massive amount of blood in it. It is literally Bloody Roar. Once you turn into a beast, into a creature, and you start attacking the opposing player... The amount of blood that gushes is incredible. And for a game which is rated 12+, I was incredibly surprised to see this amount of violence.
Just be glad it's not called Bloody Gush, because that would be vile.
It flows like it does in, say, something like Mortal Kombat 4.
Okay.
You know, how it kind of splats out like a fountain.
Maybe that's what they were kind of going for. Maybe, you know, they kind of... It is the fourth, and I believe the last entry into the series, right? I'm not even sure if it's one of the last games Hudson
ever
made.
That's correct. The last Bloody Roar game, to my knowledge, unless they've released something recently that I don't know about.
No, I don't think so. I'm pretty sure it was one of Hudson's last games. But maybe that's why the series doesn't exist anymore. Maybe in the wake of more technical fighters such as Guilty Gear in the PS2 era and kind of the revival of 2D fighters, that he was kind of struggling to find his own identity.
It's certainly one of the better fighters on PS2. I mean, Bloody Roar always has been a strong fighting series. I think they still hold up rather well.
Yeah, last released Bloody Roar 4 in 2003. That's a shame.
For those curious the game, though, it's worth picking up. You can find it at the right price if you're a fan, fighting game fan in general. I think Bloody Roar has got a lot going for it. The whole mechanic of changing into a different creature still is very appealing, enjoyable.
Yeah, it looked very cool. I've played Primal Fury on the GameCube, and I think that was pretty much it. Actually, I tell a lie, there are other Hudson Soft games, but they're not really that great other than Feeding Frenzy 2 and Bomberman Live. They kind of include Bomberman Act Zero.
Let's see.
A Sudoku game, Dungeon Exploria, Warriors of the Ancient Art. Yeah, it's pretty much like of their good games. They didn't really do a lot after that. It was their 2003 lineup was Bloody Roar 4, Bomberman Land 2, Dream Mix TV World Fighters.
Oh yeah, I have that.
a Hudson selection then of previous games such as Bonk's Adventure and Adventure Island. Then there's a Sudoku game. Then there's just Bomberman. I'm curious to see what platform that is.
Game Boy Advance.
No, it doesn't say. It just goes to. Oh, actually, it's for the PlayStation Portable. I tell a lie. Then they had a Dungeon Explorer game for PlayStation Portable. Then they had Bomberman Ultra and Military Madness for the PS3. And then, yeah, like I said, a few Xbox 360 games. And then they were absorbed by Konami.
Oh.
And as such, there have been no games since from Hudson Soft or the Bloody Roar franchise.
We've learned something.
We have. Educational.
So we've touched upon Dragon Ball Z Infinite World, which is a game that I had a little bit of a bash on.
You did.
Having been long curious about the title, I've collected all the other Dragon Ball Z fighters on the PS2. Other than the Tenkaichi games you could get on GameCube, Wii.
Yes.
With the motion control. So,
do you rate those over the PS2 ones?
Well, you've got the motion control, so yeah. I'd say that they were had a little bit more going for them.
Okay.
Because what the Dragon Ball Z fighting games on PS2 need is more variety. Sadly, Infinite World is more of the same. they have tried to shake things up a bit with a mission mode, I think called Dragon Mission or something.
Yeah.
But that is not worth shouting about, to be honest.
Do you reckon? That's a bit of a shame.
Nah, he was running around trying to get through checkpoints before you fight Raditz. The amount of times I've seen the whole setup from the beginning of Dragon Ball Z and
let's be honest,
that through the sagas, it'd be nice to see them do something a little bit different with the Dragon Ball Z game.
Well, it would, wouldn't it? But it's almost as if this horse has been flogged since the days of the Super Nintendo.
Mm-hmm.
There's only really so much you can do with a franchise.
But Budokai 3 did quite a lot to mix things up and added a lot of new mechanics. This game feels like redundant. It really does feel redundant, I have to say. It felt like, as I tried some of the single, just the straightforward versus battles, it felt like I was playing Budokai 1. I don't know what was... I just was so out of touch with the series, I'd forgotten how to do certain things, but... I don't recommend it.
Yeah.
I'm even, as I say, collecting PS2 fighting games. I wouldn't be too bothered if I didn't end up with this one in my collection.
Interesting. It is also the most obscure, being the last release. Not actually a copy of it on eBay at the moment.
No.
American and Japanese copies, yes.
There's one, you can get on Amazon, I think.
Yeah, but
I have it on my wish list on Amazon.
$27.99.
Is it?
Yes.
That's gone up.
It has. A lot of these Dragon Ball Z games have actually retained their value, so I guess...
It's a popular franchise.
It is a popular franchise, but one worth looking out for. I've actually seen a lot of them quite cheap recently.
Yeah. I think last one, newest one I bought was Burst Limit on the PS3. And that looked nice. Not a game I've gone back to recently, though, I have to say.
No, this is true.
A game that really did change things and had some nice gaming heritage behind it was Super Dragon Ball Z.
I was about to ask about that game.
Which is, in my personal opinion, the best Dragon Ball Z fighting game on the PS2. It's the one that I find the most enjoyable. Okay. Taking a kind of Power Stone slant on it. It's kind of like an arena. And you fight around the arena, and it's very fast-paced. It's designed by, I think, the designer of Street Fighter 2.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's a game which I never thought found a real audience. I remember, I think I got it from my friend Adam.
Yeah.
For a birthday or something, and he didn't really take to it. He was still a firm fan of Budokai.
But yeah. This idea of kind of like a 3D... Obviously, the Naruto games take from the Budokai series from what I've seen of them, but I don't really like the style of it, how it's kind of over the shoulder, kind of you're in a big 3D environment, a big open space.
Mm.
Kind of doesn't really appeal to me. I prefer more...
It's far removed from your conventional fighting game, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I always struggle with those kinds of fighting games that don't feel like... They don't have enough of the core aspects of a fighting game for me.
Give me Final Bout any day.
Oh, sorry. The sheer Final Bout for the PS1 was one of the worst fighting games I've ever played, without a doubt.
I have a Japanese copy if you want it. I got it for Christmas one year.
I think I destroyed my copy. I can't remember.
I got a Japanese one, Tom. Think about that.
I gave it away. I think I definitely gave it away. What a terrible, 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 terrible game.
It wasn't that bad.
And the problem with it being, it's incredibly slow.
It is incredibly slow, I will give you that.
Painfully slow and clumsy and clunky.
This is really weird because the games you despise of 3D fighters are the ones I actually tend to enjoy.
You play that game now, I swear you won't enjoy it.
I would gladly play Zero Divide with you. I still think that game has some merit.
It's been a while since I played Zero Divide. I can't remember thinking it was the greatest thing ever. But
shall I buy Zero Divide 2 and see if it's got any better?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't have that one.
Maybe a Christmas present, Tom. Who knows?
What else have you played this week? Let's stop talking about crappy fighting games.
Surprise, surprise, in the last almost 2 weeks, I've picked up a shit ton of Game Boy games.
Oh, no, have you?
I'm going to list the highlights of these, because I have actually got some pretty obscure and pretty nice titles. I'll go into detail about the ones I've played afterwards. But I picked up a 2-in-1 fighter, Flying Warrior. I got a copy of Universal's Mr. Do, which is a bit of a Dig Dug clone. I got Castalion, which is the most ridiculously hard game I've ever played. I'll talk about it in a second. I got a Swedish-only release called Bamza, which is quite rare. It's a resprite of an American game based on Way Back, A Dinosaur Story, and then it was released subsequently in other European markets as... Right, what was it altogether? It was... We're back at Dinosaur Story in the US. It was Bamza in Scandinavia. It was Baby T-Rex in Germany and other European markets like the UK. And it is Agrosaur, I want to say, in Australia. It's kind of some weird...
Angry dinosaur.
No, it's a weird Australian caveman puppet that kind of reminds me of the thing from Pogs. Yeah, actually, it'd be right up your street. It's kind of like, he's kind of like Alf. He's a very small puppet that's acted as if it's a person. I also got a copy of A Link's Awakening, which I've been after for a long time at a reasonable price. And then subsequently, as pure luck would have it, two buses at once, I got a copy of Link's Awakening DX at the same time. In the same lot as Bamza and Bubble Ghost. Which is an obscure puzzle game where you're a ghost and you have to blow a bubble around an arena without it hitting the walls or various objects in the arena which try and do your bubble harm. Like there's candles the heat will rise so the bubble will shoot up towards the ceiling, so you've got to blow the candle out and all this. It's really unique, but it's very challenging. I would say that about the Game Boy games. The most interesting ones I've found so far are generally hard as nails. As you saw earlier, when I was actually filming footage for my new side project-y thing as part of Tom and Matt Attack and Blast process called Biographic, I was playing Castalian.
Yeah, and that fascinating. Firstly, what's fascinating about that game is the lead character looks like a sort of a
pig mouse.
A pig mouse, yeah. I think that's the best way of putting it. If a pig and a mouse got it on, this is what they create. And it's a sort of mutant deformed pig mouse. It's only got two hind legs.
It has, yeah. And it kind of weird tail that kind of wobbles behind it. You were actually...
It's very nice.
I was going to say, you really like the animation cycle on it. Believe it or not, this game actually has like a really complicated backstory. The gist of the game is essentially you're this thing and you have to walk up these perilous towers, there's 8 in total, and you get to the top and then the tower collapses. The whole story is that you're like this alien from an oppressed species and
I wonder. Yeah. It's oppressed.
All of these towers you're going into are these alien overlords who've taken over your world, have built these towers, so you need to blow them up. You're essentially like an alien pig mouse terrorist. You need to blow up these towers and... Once they've fallen, apparently, the world will be saved. Hmm. Yeah, didn't get that from playing it. It's never mentioned anywhere. It's just in the Amiga and the Atari versions and stuff. It's hinted at in the boxes of those. Because this game was released on other consoles. Well, it was known as Castalian. Castalian? How would you say that? Is it Castalian or Castalian? It's got to be Castalian, right?
Answers on the back of a sealed envelope.
But anyways, it was released as a game called Nebulous on various other formats. It's actually available on the virtual console I've just seen.
No.
Yeah, it is. In EU and North America, I would imagine. It's probably the NES version, though. Yeah, it's actually got quite a few
and
names.
It's known as that name on the virtual console. Nebulous.
It's probably Castalian, I would imagine. It's known as Nebulous, but it's also known as Castalian. Kairo-chan Land, which I'm guessing is the Japanese name. Subline and Tower Toppler, which I believe a few people for like in television and all that kind of stuff, I think it's known as Toppling Towers. It's ridiculously hard. Though once you've got the hang of it, like I've completed the first level now a few times, but Tom watched me for a good hour try and beat that first level to no avail. Like every time I would get a little bit closer and then I would die. There was even one time when we thought I got to the final door just as the time ran out and just as I was about to press it up, it went time's out. I was like, yeah! There's also weird like platforming bonus stages in between them, but try as I might, I've not been able to complete one of those bonus stages. They're really way too hard. Like, if you go the wrong way on a jump, then you die. So, even on the bonus missions, you've got to remember which route to take and stuff. And it kind of fascinates me, because I'm really on board with it, surprisingly. Despite it being ludicrously hard, it never really feels that unfair, because if I would have known the thing was there, I could do it. And then, the next time round, it's like, okay, I know this bit of floor is going to fall unless I jump over it, so I've got to do this. Mm-hmm. And that's the hook of it. That's what keeps you going. Yep. Though you only have 3 lives, which is a bit of a pain in the ass, but I've seen people complete it and do it in like 10 minutes, but I guess the hours put into the game before you're able to get to the stage of completing it must be vast. Speaking of hard games, Tom, you've been playing one of my favourite series this week.
Oh, I fail to see the appeal of Mega Man. I'm sorry, I've tried, I really have. I was playing Mega Man 2 the other day, downloaded onto my 3DS. Very difficult. I heard this was the easiest in the series, hence why I decided, when I wanted to attempt to play a Mega Man game again, this was one I thought I'd go for.
Did you at least read up on it? Because there are strategies.
I didn't read up on it, no.
There are strategies in place of how you're supposed to play Mega Man games.
First of all, I didn't know which level to pick first.
Yes, this is what I'm saying.
It was bewildering. Which one's meant to be the easiest?
Well, you...
Or are they all the same difficulty? Is that the idea?
They're all the same kind of, like, there will always be one easier level than the rest of them, and then essentially from there, you beat the boss, you take his special gun, then you go and verse the boss that gun is weak against, boss's weakness. There's a strategy
How
in place.
How do you know that?
Trial and error.
Trial and error, great.
I assume in the manual it probably told you back in the day. Like,
yeah.
And in all fairness, there's like fireman and woodman, and like once you've got a blade shooting gun, then it's kind of obvious that the tree man is going to get killed by that.
There's no real learning curve to it. It's hard from the start, hard from the get-go. It doesn't ease you in gently.
No.
I'm talking about two here, the easiest apparently.
I disagree with that. I don't think it's the easiest. I think three is easier.
Okay.
Mega Man 2 is my favourite. Mega Man 2 score is the best out of all of them. The music in Mega Man 2 is phenomenal.
I was doing a level where I had to jump from floating platforms and on the edges of the platforms were little drills that rose.
Yeah.
And I really couldn't jump onto the platform without hitting the drill. As many times as I tried, I couldn't do it. And the fact that I was losing health all the time. And in the end, I just got frustrated with it and turned it off.
Yeah, well,
it's a game that demands more patience.
It involves serious timing and the ability to kind of go, okay, it's the same as Castilian. It's, you know, okay, when I go down through this bit of the screen, there's going to be a bloke. I should have a charge shot waiting for him. I pop a charge shot and I duck straight away because he fires
his fist. It's Ghosts and Goblins in a way,
isn't
it? It is.
And exactly that.
It's an incredibly rewarding game to play, actually.
It is. So is Mega Man. Trust me. Get on board.
I think I need to play it with someone else. I need to sit there and have someone there supporting me.
Okay. I think we could do that. I think we can fire up the NES later. I have a cart of Mega Man 2 here.
Oh, we don't need to do that. Even I've got three on my Wii.
Okay. I have three on the NES here as well.
Mm-hmm.
God, I need to buy Mega Man 1 again. Yes, we should do this. We should get involved in Mega Man. Yeah. Actually, I also have the Game Boy ones, so you can watch me play the Game Boy ones as part of a Game Boy, if you want.
Okay, maybe I'll learn something.
Yeah, well, they're shorter. There's only four enemies to beat. Mm.
A platform game which is rather tricky, but not too tricky, that I've been playing recently, has been New Super Mario Bros. Wii U.
Okay, you've been back into it.
You know what I did? I picked that as my free game in the end.
Oh, shit, I really need to get on that. I still haven't done mine. But
I did. My free game for buying my copy of Mario Kart 8. Now, I did this because I looked... Initially, I was going to Game & Wario, but I looked on Amazon, at least, and saw that the price of Game & Wario was significantly less than the price of New Super Mario Bros. Wii.
Well,
you expect
it's
gonna
be, yeah.
You know, one's a Mario game, one's a Wario game. What's got more appeal? £41 for New Super Mario Bros. Wii U, £25 for Game & Wario.
Yeah.
So also looking at the quite small size of the game, just over 2 gig.
Yeah.
I decided that New Super Mario Bros. Wii U was the one to get.
Okay.
It's a great game, and it is. I say it's more challenging than the rest of the series. Actually,
I think so.
Yeah.
Definitely. Actually, I would totally agree with that.
I think what they've done there is they've said, well, we've released so many of these games now. Let's make this one extra tough.
Yeah, I kind of got to that stage as well with the Mario games at that point, the New Super Mario Bros. Series, where I kind of just had enough of it by that time. And you saw me, like, when I first got my Wii U, I was playing it a lot because it felt...
There wasn't much else to play.
Well, no, there wasn't. But, like, as the PS4 show now, where there's not really a lot to play, I'm just going back and play old systems. But this game actually kept my attention because it was challenging and there was this whole reward factor we were talking about with other older games involved in it, which I felt has been missing from the other entries in the series, especially the Wii one.
Yeah. So that's a great game, and I've been enjoying it, and very satisfying.
For a small monetary
for
insertion,
nothing.
You can get a Super Luigi U on top of it, because it's an expansion.
Forget about that. Maybe I could look into that one. Another, actually, is a trend here. Hard as Nails platform, and Mutant Muds I've been playing on the 3DS.
Oh, right, okay.
A game which rewards patience indeed, actually, and it shares a lot, I guess, in common with stuff like Castle Alien and Mega Man. The fact that even the levels of Mutant Muds are seemingly quite short, you're on a strict timer.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you take too long to do it, you'll die. You have to keep replaying a level and get good at it.
Yeah.
The physics, the way the character moves, and he slides a little bit on the icy levels, which can be very challenging. The way his jetpack works is also something you've got to get to grips with. So it's a great, very rewarding game, very addictive. I recommend it. I mean, I'm not the first person to say Mutant Muds is a great
game. No, of course not. And I mean, Renegade Kid makes some very cool games. I'm a bit gutted that their last effort on Kickstarter didn't get through. Name escapes me now. Cult Country.
Okay.
It's a game I backed and plugged a lot on the podcast. It was a survival horror game, first-person shooter they were going to make for the 3DS, but unfortunately, on Wii U, and unfortunately didn't get enough backing, which kind of sucks.
Oh, that's a shame.
Yeah. I want to play it on the Wii U, and we were having this conversation yesterday.
Is it available yet?
It is in the States, not in Europe. It's been out, actually, since June 13th, 2013. So it's actually been out a whole year in the States without being released in Europe.
Wonder if we'll ever get it.
Yeah, when it comes out, I'll pick it up. Actually, isn't New and Tasty out very, very soon?
I'll do it.
If not today.
Oh, that's another kind of tricky platformer. But in a different way.
Yeah, that's true. Oh, man, I hope New and Tasty's out. I've actually been really looking forward to that. I love the Oddworld series. Those first two games especially. Oh, date to be a... it was announced. It's not on oddworld.com, though, so... Never mind. Yeah, other than that, I've been playing a few other Game Boy games. Surprise, surprise. I played Dig Dug. Now, I'm not familiar with Namco's arcade classic, so I've been playing it quite a lot to get into the mindset of playing Dig Dug before I made a video about it. And it's very fun, it's very addictive, and I can kind of see the appeal of Dig Dug, but god damn it, Tom, it's really tough. Like, not classic Dig Dug. I can kind of play the arcade game for quite a while and be okay at it. But there is a new game, like Dig Dug. I can't even remember what it's called. It's called
New Dig Dug.
New Dig Dug. That's what it's called. Thank you very much. Yeah. And what it is essentially, it kind of does a Donkey Kong 94 thing of kind of going, hey, here's the classic Dig Dug formula you know and love, but we're going to add in levels and new bits and stuff. And there is no learning curve. Like, by the seventh level, if you mess up once, you're screwed and you need to start all over again. Like, it's unforgiving. There are 41 levels, but that's kind of like telling someone, like, oh, when you die, you're going to go to heaven. Because there's no way of finding out until you get there. Because it's just so, so difficult. I never think I'm going to reach the 41st level of that game. Honestly, even with all of my trial and error, I got as far as the 8th level and I just couldn't do it.
Yeah.
Got to that point where it was just too frustrating. The enemy spawned right above the door.
I saw.
And yeah, I just couldn't do anything.
Mm.
Which kind of sucks, but never mind. Good game though. Like, I actually recommend picking it up if you see it cheap. Just don't expect any mercy at all from it. And I played a bit of Yoshi's Cookie, which I've just made a video for, and it is live on the YouTube channel, youtube.com/ biographic, I think it is.
Be cool if we maybe made a playlist of that on Tom and Matt Attack.
Yeah, we should do.
Or Blast Process.
Yeah, yeah.
Or both.
Or both, yeah. I should actually be posting on Blast Process. I am plugging Blast Process at the start and end of the episodes anyway.
Mm.
Yeah, I should do that. That's just me being lazy and wanting to get
it. I can do that. I can plug that for you.
Okie doke. Thank you, Thomas. that's pretty much it for me. Have you played anything else?
Have you played it desperately?
Have you played anything else other than Mario Kart?
I've got two other games on my list of games played this week, and both of them are Mario Kart games. The games are Mario Kart 7 and 8.
Wow.
So when I've not been at home playing Mario Kart, I've
been Mario Kart on the go.
On the go. So it's nice to be able to do that.
It is.
7 and 8 are very similar. They retain a lot of the same elements.
Yes.
And actually, I'll just say a little bit about playing Mario Kart 7 on the bigger 3DS.
Yes.
Or 3DS XL. A lot more comfortable. I haven't used the XL as much. I mean, I have the smaller one, but my girlfriend has an XL, and it's preferable, okay. I think, as a console, because it's a lot more comfortable than the original.
Okay, interesting. So,
I'm kind of tempted to upgrade, but still, I don't need to buy another 3DS.
Well,
I think I'll make do.
You don't, technically.
Yeah, I'll make do with my slightly uncomfortable one.
Yeah. Well, in all fairness, you saw the damage that the bigger one did to my arm anyway. It's not really that... While it's more comfortable to play, it's balance issues of it being a very heavy console that you're kind of propping up with your wrists does kind of strain
There's
your
arms
a little
bit. There's pluses and minuses to both.
There is, yes.
8's still fantastic. I tried a couple of the new modes on that. I tried the battle mode on 8. Now, that's been heavily criticised across all reviews.
I've seen this. I'm just like, why? Why are you saying like, oh, it doesn't need to be in the game? It's an extra feature. If you don't like it, don't play it.
I think the thing about the battle mode is people find strange is why Nintendo didn't make specific arenas. And it seems like a lazy move to just have battle mode played out on the existing tracks because the tracks are too big for battle mode, really. You don't need all that space. And sometimes you may spend a little bit of time trying to find the other player. Without a radar, which was a feature of previous battle modes,
yes,
people say it's quite difficult. I didn't find it incredibly difficult to find people. I think how it plays out is you play in a small area of the map. You never kind of stray that far away from where you initially start off on the map.
Yeah,
and it plays a lot like the old battle mode. It's just not, the courses aren't designed specifically for it.
Okay.
I enjoyed my time on battle mode, but I also think that it feels to me Nintendo felt they had to release Mario Kart 8 when they did.
Yes.
And they thought, well, how do we get it out quicker? We won't spend any time on the battle mode. It kind of feels like that, because it won't have taken a lot for them to just, you know, create an option on the main menu, create some programming to go with the balloons and the...
Yeah, no, I know what you're saying, but why didn't they just release it as a patch then? Like,
well, who knows? And I think Nintendo do owe it to people to release a more comprehensive battle mode, because you expect it out of Mario Kart, and especially when you look at the amount of features that Double Dash had in terms of battle modes. You had not only the classic original battle mode, but you had the Shine... Catch the Shine mode.
I can't remember that.
Where you were fighting over a flag. It's like capture the flag.
Okay.
Whoever at the end of the match retains the Shine thing. It's like a little gold medal. The ones that you've seen in Mario Sunshine.
Yes.
For the most amount of time, wins the match. It would be great to see some of these features in Mario Kart 8.
Yeah, it would have been cool. I don't know why they didn't do that then. Like, why didn't they just make an arena?
There were time restraints and they wanted to get it out. That's my opinion anyway.
Makes sense. Could be
the case. Who knows? Maybe Nintendo are quite happy with it, but it's a glaring omission out of the game, which with it, I think would be a much more complete package.
It's also one that's made them receive some negative press. Like, I don't really get the retaliation it's had of people just giving it like bad reviews because of battle mode.
Oh, it shouldn't have.
Because like I never play battle mode. Like, it isn't really the main draw of the game.
It isn't for me either. I rarely play it. It's nice to have, and I know there's a lot of people who really do enjoy it.
I enjoyed it on the Super Nintendo.
Yeah, it's not a deal breaker for me at all. I'm fine with it. But I can see why it's got a little bit of backlash. Another mode that's quite fun is a team mode where you work as half the races is split up. You split up into the red and the blue teams. And I play this online. Your friend online will be on the opposing team and you'll be on your own team. And you'll be playing alongside a load of computer players.
Yeah.
And it's quite fun at the end of a race to kind of see the score slowly come in and find out which one of your teams overall did the best. And it's quite frustrating when maybe you're lumped with some computer players which seem to be worse than the computer players that your opposing team has been given.
Yeah.
But all in all, it's a nice addition and shakes things up a little bit.
Sounds very interesting, actually. Like, so it's kind of almost like betting on horses.
Yeah.
Like, you've got your overall play in yourself, and I guess you guys are coming in first and second.
Yeah, and then what's the rest of those computer AI going to actually come in at?
Yeah, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, it's fun. Can't get enough of Mario Kart. It's We played, myself and my friend Gareth play every Thursday. We usually play an Xbox. Since Mario Kart 8 has been out, we've been playing an awful lot of that. We just played that totally this last Thursday night. And we had our Xboxes on, of course, to do party chat.
Yeah.
Of course, because Nintendo didn't include that option on the Wii U.
Which is a bit sad.
So, yeah. So even though we've got our Xboxes on, we're not playing them. We're playing Wii U, just making use of the party chat, which works perfectly well.
Yeah. It's a bit sad, though, that that's the case, that they still haven't really sorted out party chat. But
I mean,
hey,
I'm having to power two consoles at the same time. That's not...
It's not green, Tom.
It's not very green, is it?
No, it's not.
Nintendo.
Sort it out, yeah. You also picked up another bargain in Milka.
I think this is the Danish deal of the week.
Sponsored by Milka.
DuckTales remastered on PS3 for 30 kroner.
Yes.
30 kroner.
30
isn't
kroner.
Isn't 30 pounds? No. 30 kroner is the equivalent of just over £3. £3 for a box copy of DuckTales remastered.
Woo. Yes.
I had to get it.
What can go wrong with that purchase?
I couldn't believe it. Everyone around me, as I was purchasing this, that can't be right. It's another Pikmin 3. Price error. No.
They wouldn't, because I wasn't there.
Everyone knew about it, though, who was there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really?
The Pikmin 3 thing, yeah.
Yeah.
For those who aren't in the know, we found a copy of Pikmin 3 priced up at 100 kroner in Bilka previously.
The week it came out.
The week it came out. Which was a little bit of a discount.
We told this story on the podcast, right, about how you bought it because you were like, oh, well, you know, I want a copy.
I didn't have a Wii U.
I'd already picked it up. And then, like, once we went through the checkout and we realised it was supposed to be 440 kroner, I literally run back to the aisle before they could take the price off it, picked up a copy. The guy wasn't happy. But then I traded it in
oh, you naughty.
GameStop, like, straight away, and I got 250 kroner back, and then I bought Zone of the Enders collection.
You've
HD.
Never played.
I have.
Oh, you have?
I had a
Sorry,
double.
I haven't seen you
I dipped my feet in it. Yes.
I gave my copy of Pikmin to Dave. Fellow Blast Processor Day for Christmas.
Who's still not probably played it, right? You don't think?
I don't know if he has. Let us know, Dave.
Let us know, Dave. Dave, what do you think of Pikmin 3?
He was very happy to receive it. I know he likes the series, hence why I thought, you know. He mentioned he wanted it.
Yeah.
He's a busy man, though, Dave.
He is a busy man. Fortunately, going to be producing more stuff for the website soon. Yay! Anyways, let's leave on the last note. We finally figured out a good way of giving away the t-shirt we have from the awesome Pixel Pixel Tees and our good friends at Games World Bod. We are holding a contest, Thomas, that involves photography. Ooh.
Yes.
Essentially, we want you to do... I am really plugged at this last week because I hadn't talked about it on the podcast and I wanted you guys to find out about it first. Is we've created Technominoes, the things in Tetris, the shapes, in a printable file, both in black and white for you printer-friendly people, and in colour if you've got an office printer to abuse. So you can print out these shapes, and then we want you to take a picture of them in the real world, filling in a space in the real world, making the world a little bit more retro gamer savvy. You can find these on our Instagram account, which is Tom and Matt Attack. It's also on our Twitter. We will be reposting them once a day over the following week so you guys can get them. And then just either tweet them back to us or tag us in Instagram or even upload them to our Facebook feed. That's fine as well. So you can do that at TMAcast, Tom and Matt Attack on Instagram and facebook.com/TomandMattAttack, where you can find us anyways. You can also find this podcast in iTunes and Stitcher. Please also check out the new YouTube channel that I've set up as a side project to this called Biographic. You can find that at youtube.com/Biographic. Also check out blastprocess.com. It'll be up there, as is the podcast, as is other great content every week. And yeah, thank you for listening. If you do like this podcast or like any of the other stuff we produce, please share it with friends, rate, subscribe, like, etc. And we will be very grateful for that. Tell us what you think as well. We always really want to know your feedback, be it in an iTunes review or in a tweet going, oh, I don't agree what Tom said about that Italian game company. I don't like that Matt said they were Spanish, even though they were Italian. Lols. You can do that on Twitter at TMAcast and we'll reply in kind.
Why isn't Battle Mode better on Mario Kart 8?
Rage face. yeah, so until next time, guys, it's good night from me and good night from him.
It is. Good night.
Game on.
Game on.